Welcome back to another episode of the Coco Talk podcast. I've said it for ages, we're going to start this one out series with fighters, coaches from New Zealand that own gyms called the Combat Centre. And yeah, this is going to be the first episode. Just want to welcome Macca Jean.
Yeah, Macca Jean.
Macca Jean and my brother from another mother, William Naamoa. What's happening, guys?
Yeah, how's it going, mate?
What are you doing here?
Fighting tomorrow on internal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are you fighting?
Girl called Danielle Curtis.
Danielle Curtis.
Fought her before.
Is there any?
She beat me, so rematch.
Yo. What weight?
61.2 bantamweight.
Fucking hell, the lightest I've gone into. Because I only think about myself. The lightest I've gone into is 77, bro. I couldn't imagine being fucking 60 kilos.
Yeah, me never until this day. I'm like, oh, made it. I never believe it.
Nice, nice. And what do you call it? How long have you been training for?
For like MMA, like probably a year and a bit.
Mm.
For kickboxing, probably like 3. And for taekwondo, like 10 years.
So how old were you when you started?
I was like 9.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was forced to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. I hated sport. I was like a fat little chubby thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dad's like, okay, you have to go do sport. I'm like, oh.
And what gym did you start at?
It's called a Porikī Phoenix Taekwondo.
Yeah.
So it's a real small town. So I did surf life saving.
Yeah.
And my coach that did that, she's like, oh, do you want to try a Taekwondo? I'm like, no, not really. She's like, oh, you should just come. Just bring. And well, she told my mom, you just bring her. I'm like, okay, whatever. I walked in and she's a black belt. I'm like, hey, are you sure? I was like, oh, okay, you're cool. I'll stay.
And
yeah.
Where are you from?
A Porikī. Like a little town on the east coast.
Yeah, yeah.
No one really knows about it, but yeah.
True. And when did you move up to Auckland?
I was about 14, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I moved up. Just my mum got a job up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was so stubborn. I was like, nah, not moving. So I stayed back with my dad for a bit. Nah, not moving. Forced me to move up. I got there. I was like, oh, it's so flash.
Yeah.
Well, the first mall I went to was Henderson Mall. I walked in like, oh. Like, I was amazed. I was like, this looks like a rich people place. But yeah, we stayed there. I was like, oh, it turned out all right. Yeah.
And you like Auckland?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Just different vibes.
Yeah.
Cultural change.
Yeah, it's funny because I left New Zealand back in 2007. So, yeah, I haven't been back in since 2016. And I didn't even fight when I was in New Zealand. I was just fighting my demons in the nightclubs.
Still sounding alcohol.
Yeah, I didn't start fighting until I moved over to Australia. And that's where I met my friend, William Naamoa.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, how's it going? So we used to train with each other, you know. He was friends with one of my cousins. one of my cousins that thinks he can fight. So one of my cousins thought he could fight. It's like, oh, my friend Will's fights as well. So I started training like
bro, does he listen to this podcast?
No way.
Oh yeah, he doesn't even watch TV.
So we used to get together in a gym and teach each other like our bullshit techniques. Will's was the stand-up trainer because he knew karate.
No YouTube. Back then we just pretended we knew what we were doing.
I think I knew three techniques for wrestling, and we just drilled them nonstop. And Will's taught me how to like jump around like a fucking karate guy.
This is how you tear your Achilles.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that was early on in our career, like right at the beginning before either. You'd already had a fight, eh?
Who?
You. You'd already had a fight when we were at Contender.
Yeah, that's why I thought I knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have one fight and then you act like, hey. You want to learn how to jump around?
You know this MMA thing? Because it was tiny back then. That was when they still had like news stories, violence, and these fights should be banned from Australia. Mm. They wouldn't want to bring the UFC over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the how long ago was that?
2009?
Yeah. Because I had my first amateur 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was fucking shit. Because the amateur rules were no punching to the head on the ground.
Oh.
So I took the dude down, mounted him, and sat there going,
nothing.
What?
Mine wasn't. I got smashed.
You got to hit on the ground.
Bruh, he was like full, yeah, popping my head off the canvas.
Bro, I like held this dude down, gassed out, second round came up, and he just fucking lit me up. And then like, and the whole crowd was supporting him. This was like our Wollongong ways. Yeah, that was shit. And I didn't get paid anything because it was amateur.
Oh.
But anyway, enough about us old farts. So how are you feeling about tomorrow?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just excited. Get in there again.
When was your last fight?
It was about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was here.
Yeah. That was the Warwick one?
Yeah, in Warwick. Nice. Random little town. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was good to keep busy. Fight.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It's the first time in a cage, so it was nice.
Oh, true. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's been fighting rings the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Any difference? You feel any difference?
Oh, no. It's just easier to, like, move. Mm. I always get stuck in the corner, and then there's no corners. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, this yeah.
This is mean.
Oh, yeah. And how what happened with your last fight?
It was pretty much just me stand up the whole time, just... Fucking yeah, popping away.
Smashed
yeah, bro. That was a mean fight.
Don't be, yeah. don't
be humble. You fucking Kiwi.
I'm just saying it how it is.
You smashed her. Don't worry, she won't listen to this. Okay. Until we send it to her.
Post it up.
Yeah, nah. But that was a mean fight.
No, nah, it was fun. It was yeah. Good.
And how's preparation gone for this one?
She's got a good corner.
Oh, he's all right.
Yeah,
all
good. Good.
She's got a good coach.
Yeah, who's your coach?
He's Samoan. Name is Ben.
Does he wear a hat? And does he have a beard?
he loves it.
Angus says, get him on here.
Yeah, hard up.
Or not.
But yeah, Macca's coach is Vinny. He's around.
Yeah.
Runs the combat center.
Yeah, yeah. So I got like three coaches. So like, oh, four. Yeah, him, Will. I got Will for MMA. Then I got...
I'm still pretending. I'm still teaching people lies, like us.
And then Seba. I got what's it called? Oh, Ben Sizem. So he does my Muay Thai, and then Anato Silva who runs the Combat Center Jiu Jitsu. So, oh my gosh, almost forgot someone. And Hamish, he's another MMA coach from
Auckland
Emma.
MMA, yeah,
Auckland MMA. He's the man. So I go there out there a few times a week. He's running away.
True. So how long was the camp for this one?
Like 6 weeks. Oh, I didn't really know about the fight until like 4 weeks. I didn't know if it was like real on or not. But I just trained for my last fight.
And you're active, you don't really take time off?
Nah, I don't like taking time off.
Bro.
I feel like I get worse every time.
Bro, she's the opposite to us.
Yeah, so back in our days, we would only train when you had a fight coming up. So six weeks.
I hear people do that. I'm like, what?
Bro,
I couldn't
the dumbest
not.
Shit ever. Right? I only realized that until it was like all the way.
It's too late. I retired.
I said, this is why they do that.
Oh.
But yeah, man. I'd hit the fight, 6 week training camp to the fight, lose all the weight, conditioning was shit, do the fight, and then like I'll take a month off training or something.
Holy.
A whole month eating whatever I want, not turning up to training.
That was the norm. That was sort of the norm.
Back I in still those hear days. People do that. And I'm like some people at a gym, I'm like, hey, like, why aren't you training? He's like, no, my fight camp doesn't start till like 6 weeks. I'm like, you know, it could just start now. So it's a whole lot easier.
Yeah, but it's not until you get a hiding, then you realize
you're like, oh, maybe next time.
Times have changed, but people train smarter. You know, there's a lot more science behind
and people
the whole prep.
Yeah. You know? People can make like careers off of fighting now. It's not one of these things like back in our days.
Take it a bit more serious.
Yeah, back in our days, it's like, fuck, I reckon I can do this shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whereas now, like, you can actually like feed your family or you can like set yourself up or you could go overseas, start travel. Well, what you guys are doing right now. So it's pretty cool the opportunities that are out there at the moment.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more, support around the sport.
Mm.
You know? Like, obviously, the UFC and that.
Yeah.
But just with everyone getting a bit more educated on the sport.
Yeah, there's a lot more knowledge, when it comes to coaching as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not this whole stigma of, like, oh, this sport. It's not even a sport. You know, back when we started.
Yeah.
What's that thing you do in a cage?
You know, it's like you're a cage fighter.
Yeah. It's like, sounds like, oh, like you're trapped in a cage in Vietnam and they're torturing you or something, you know?
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's more educated.
Yeah.
People know more about it.
Even the fans are like more educated. Like people cheer when there's like ground fighting. They know like positions. Some of the, like a lot of the UFC fighters are household names now. So it's pretty huge.
So very huge.
Humongous. But yeah, so what do you call it? So what's the plan for tomorrow? I don't mean your actual game plan, because I might go and tell her. And
nah, just go chill. Yeah, I hate doing stuff. Well, normally, when I first started, I used to get so nervous that I have to be doing stuff all day. I remember one time I like climbed a mountain. I'm like, nah, later, guys. I'm walking up this hill. I didn't come back for like a couple of hours. But now I can just chill and relax.
This is New Zealand too, so there's mountains everywhere.
Actual mountains, not like a hill.
Not Mount Druitt.
Nah, so I went and climbed up there, came down there. Like, what are you up to? You're fine. Like, I don't care. I just need to do something.
And is that just like the pressure, just trying to keep yourself busy?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just like, I just need to keep my mind off it. Yeah. But now I'm like, I like thinking about it. Mm. So it's all right.
Oh, yo. Yeah, I remember that that pressure, right?
You're like,
it's
oh,
like six
shit.
Weeks. Like when you start breaking it down and you're in the room by yourself, you're like, fuck, 6 weeks of training for 15 minutes of work.
Yeah.
Fuck. And then it's like anything can happen and you're trying to run through your game plan and you're like, well, what if this happens and that happens? But by the end of it, you're fucking tired and shit.
Just mentally drained.
Yeah, there are like important like techniques that you need to use to, you know, maintain focus and not let that stress and pressure get to you. I found, like, when I was fighting and stuff, but it was always, like, the team that was around me. And it was always with, like, other guys on the team. It was never, or hardly ever, it was just me at, like, a fight camp or whatever. There was always at least, like, one, two, or three of us, like, going to a show and all of that. So, I found, like, having the coach. I didn't really connect with, like, a lot of my coaches, but it was more so the other fighters. Yeah.
Yeah, I find like, I have to have certain people around me or I just can't stand people.
Yeah.
Like, nah, get out of my face. One's my family. Oh, my gosh, they ask stupid questions. They don't care because they already know this. But I'm like, don't talk to me, eh?
Yeah.
Mum's like, I won't text you tomorrow, but good luck with that. I'm like, oh, leave me alone. But, yeah, I need to be around certain people, not, like, always in my face. So that's nice.
Oh, good. What about you? What was your thing?
What?
Before fights, getting rid of that like stress or pressure or trying to like calm down and relax.
Oh man, I don't know. I tried different things, but I just was always nervous. You know, I tried going for walks. I tried reading, but I can't read that well. I tried everything. So, you know, even listening to church music.
Yeah.
And then just made me feel guilty. I stuffed this. Yeah, I don't know. I think you try and find your mojo, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know. To be honest, I never really found it. I just probably a mix of different things.
Yeah.
Just to help me not get too nervous. But I can't say there was one thing that really helped. You know, I can't say, I wake up, I look at the sun, and then I do 10 star jumps, and then that's what takes away my nerves, you know. So I don't know, people are different, but I don't think I had anything that would just really help.
Yeah.
But I do get about people.
Yeah.
Some of them just ask stupid questions. Like, they ask you, like, are you ready?
No shit.
I'm like, I think so. I was like,
maybe.
You training hard? And yeah, they've all got Aussie accents. They're training hard, mate. I'm like, no, I just started training today. Yeah, but yeah, I get it. Some people, they, especially the ones who've never fought or who don't train or whatever, so they don't really know the things that go into it, what goes beyond behind the scenes, how hard it is, just mentally, not just physically, but all the things you deal with, like self doubt, and you know, pressure of trying to look good. You're not gonna go out there and get knocked out in 5 seconds.
Like performance anxiety.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like having like a crowd watching you and trying to push it to the side and focus on game plan and stuff.
I think I look back and if there's one thing I would have done differently was just be myself.
Yeah.
I think I tried to kind of like act too confident, that I was like too confident going in there going, it's all good. But really inside, I was like, help me.
Someone stop me.
Yeah. I think if I was to go back and do it again, I'd be like, just go with the flow more.
Yeah.
Rather than put so much pressure on myself, which I think Maka does well.
Try.
I think Maka does well, and that's what I've found I like, because I cornered her in her last fight. I was able to see her and her coach, Vin, because everyone's, like, unique, different, you know, but just the way Vin and Maka kind of gel, he knows her, not just as a coach, but he knows her personally. So the way that he was able to, like, find the right words to say in the corner, even in training, so they gel really well. And
that's a really important part of it too, man, because, yeah, I never really got along with many of my coaches when I first started out. It was only because I couldn't, like, I'm a kid from New Zealand coming over to Australia, and you got these, like, Australian coaches trying to tell you what to do, and they don't really understand the culture, and they don't understand why you do the things you do, you know. And then it just turned into, like, isolating yourself and, like, this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care if I die, I'm just going to make weight, you know, not asking coaches for, like, help and shit. And then, yeah, you just cop the consequences of it. Like, if you're not, I guess if you're not accountable for it, and you almost, like, blind yourself to what's needed and how you feel. And then you just go with the feeling, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have skipped out on my road work on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I see the way Maka is, how she acts. She's just herself, you know. And just seeing that in the last fight, how she's just herself, and Vin is himself as well.
Yeah.
And how I'm just there just to add to that, and not try and, I don't know, try and come up with something to motivate her or something, you know. Just be there to support her and be, hey, I'm here. Do you want a chocolate bar?
But that's, like, a huge thing in our sport as well. Like, coaches wanting to have a say on, like, game plan. Like, they want to be seen, because the sport's blowing up at the moment. You know, there's a lot of attention on the sport, you know, a lot of attention on fighting and stuff, and a lot of coaches that aren't really fighting at the moment, and they're trying to make their name on these younger fighters that are coming up. And I find it's, like, a very, like, predatory kind of area where, like, people are looking out for the next up-and-comer, the next big thing to come up, and they're trying to, like, get their hooks in. Oh, yeah, do you need this? Do you need that? And I think what you and Vin have – oh, hold on. Before we talk about Vin, can you introduce Vin, since he doesn't want to jump on?
He'll be back soon, sure. Probably not. Hey, probably won't come back.
Yeah, and the relationship between you guys.
So Vin has been my trainer. So he's the head, like, owner of the combat center. So he's like the head trainer of all the fighters. And I've known him for, like, almost 4 years. This is 3.5 years, but I first met him. So I was working at a coffee shop. I didn't even know him. He came in a few times, and I was like, he was talking to my coworker. He's like, oh, I own a gym, but I did taekwondo. I wanted to try boxing. So I was like, all right, and okay. And then when I took his payment, I was looking through his credit card. I just get his name and stalked him on Facebook. I'm like, oh, he's, like, legit. He runs, like, a gym. So I went down there a few times. It wasn't training with him. I was training with another guy. So when I was walking to work one morning, it was like 5 a.m, and I see him, like, he pulled up. And I didn't know who he was. I was like, who's this guy? He's like, and he's like, where are you heading? And I was like, none of your business. Like, looking at him like, fuck off. Like,
creepy ass, and then he's like, dude with his van.
I know, I was like, hey.
4 in the morning. 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I was ready to bow.
What's your name?
I was giving them death.
Hey,
death
white
stares.
Girl.
I'll speak of the devil.
He's back.
What's happening? Who's Felice? Father just walked in, oh. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, but.
Yeah, and then I looked at, and he's like, I'm the guy from the kickboxing gym. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I know you. And then he drove off, and I was like, okay, I'll start going to the actual classes. So what happened? I was supposed to do it secret, because I did taekwondo.
Yeah, yeah.
And my taekwondo coach is like, yeah, he wouldn't let me fight anyway. So if you come out, if you go fight, I'm going to kick you out. I'm like, okay. And then...
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I really wanted to fight, because I hadn't had a tournament or whatever in almost a year. Mm. So I'm like, okay, just call me Maka Jean under the name. So I still wasn't, like, mates with him or anything. What are you looking at? Hurry up. Get on.
We're talking about you.
Yeah, we've been trying to talk Vin to jump on the mic, and he's actually going to do it. Yeah. So your taekwondo coach wouldn't let you fight.
Yeah, so I did, like, a secret boxing fight, and I'm like, just don't post anything of me. Then that's when he started training me, And it was just like different. So I was normally used to like getting like put down in training, like when I'm doing something wrong. Instead, it's like, oh, like it was a different way of telling me something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like I'll get like, what's it called? Oh, it's like almost PTSD. When you do something wrong, you start freaking out.
You're yeah, like, you're like triggered.
Shit. Yeah. And then he did nothing. And he's like, no, it's all good. Just keep going. Oh, okay. Those guys are cool. And yeah, so I just build it from there.
I see you guys. And what happened to your taekwondo coach?
So I didn't know my fight was streamed on Māori television or something like that. He saw it and he texted me the next day like, you can leave. I'm like, okay. What? I was crying hard. I was crying. And then all these guys were like, it's okay.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. But there we just keep fighting from there. And it was good because when I started kickboxing, like he has his own style, but he would mix it in. So he wouldn't completely take away my style, which is... See, some coaches do, like they want to make it their own,
yeah.
But except they like just put together like what I'm good at, he'll add in stuff instead of taking it away.
Yeah, especially for MMA, I think that's like one of the most important parts, man.
Just have you everything.
Need to have your own style, yeah. Because one of my first coaches, bro, the ugliest stand-up. This kind of was teaching us like kickboxing, Muay Thai and stuff.
Oh, no.
And then when you come up against actual Muay Thai and kickboxers, like stand-up stylists.
Yeah, like, oh, no.
Just getting your head bounced around in training. And yeah. So, yeah. And it wasn't until I moved to, I think it was like ATT when I went there. And I noticed that the boys would allow people their different techniques or their different styles. Like even guys that would keep their hands down. Dudes that were trying to act like Conor McGregor, they would still allow it. But they just drill the shit out of their, you know, their striking style.
Yeah, yeah. It's even good in sparring. Like you always have someone different to spar. Like everyone in our gym has like a different style.
Mm.
So it's quite good. They don't try to change anything. Because when you come up and fight someone like that, you're like, you have a training partner. So
yeah.
It's quite good.
What's up, Vin?
Yo, what's up?
Doesn't want to be.
Managed to get the man on the mic. Yeah, so how long have you been running Combat Center?
Started in 2018, end of 2017. Yeah. So it's been up and going. This is our fourth year, so.
Yo. And what do you call it? And what did you start off? How did you get into combat sports?
I started it with a martial art called Goshintai. It's like a karate form of discipline. And it was more kata style.
How old were you?
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. I did it until I was 11. And then I think I got to about a blue belt and then... It just took ages to, what's it called, to grade. So, and then one of my, my black belt trainer fought Ray Seffel. And I thought, oh, yeah. He came back, smashed up. And I thought, okay, there's actually someone bigger and better than him out there. So, yeah, I started to do my research and at about 11 years old and find out about kickboxing. And I heard about Ray's name and everything like that. I just thought, oh, yeah, sweet. And then, funny enough, in 2020, I found a gym. I was fighting a lot in rugby, so the coaches were like, you need to move on to something like a combat sport. Or
so you were getting into scraps, like, all the time on the rugby field?
All the time, yeah. They were like, you need to stop.
And so, what was your team?
Hellensville. I used to play for Hellensville, a little town out of Auckland, probably about 30 minutes from Auckland Central. So it's up north. They called us the gutter town, so and no one really liked us, but I can understand why. Yeah, everyone in that team just wanted to scrap. So,
oh, true. Yeah, because I remember when I was playing like rugby back in New Zealand. I was shit at rugby, but I was just looking for fights all the time. And it was only because like I really, really wanted to fight, but I didn't know what gyms to go and train in and all of that kind of thing. It wasn't until I moved over here to Oz, like I could see, you know, they had actual like established MMA fighters, MMA gyms.
Yeah.
And this was back in the day. This was like before the gyms that are around now.
So. Yeah, I see there's so many good martial artists out there that have come from a sport, like a team sport like rugby. Like I could name heaps of them. Like Alex Volkanovski.
Yeah.
He came from like a what was it, football?
Rugby league.
And he transitioned into MMA. So yeah, I see heaps. I see heaps of them, and I think, you know, there's so much talent out there, but they're just still finding themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's like heaps of opportunity out there, but I still think like the mainstream sports are the ones that are taking these like, well, a lot of the like Pacific Island and politics, you know, like that's where the money's at. There's not too much money in like fighting, but it is now. It's getting up there. Like yeah. If you can establish yourself, you know, get a good record, get on the right shows and everything, there is that chance to like make a career of it. And
yeah. Our girl Mega Jane, yeah, she's got a big career ahead of her. So
only young too, 22.
I feel yeah. old.
22 today.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Be a good birthday.
But yeah, I started Goshen Thai. I moved to Balmoral. First time I walked in there, I saw my cousin. I went there actually, cousin slash uncle. You know the coconut styles. He was my cousin, but my uncle because he was older than me. And yeah, I went in there, and first thing I went, he slapped me and told me to be better son to my dad. Yeah, let's not go on to that story. But yeah, I stayed. I came back. Like a week later, and then I started training, and yeah, I started there at like one high 138 kgs, one in the 140s, and I chopped down to like 80 kgs. Mm. So yeah, I had my, and then Lolo said to me, Lolo was my coach at the time from Balmoral Liga, and he said to me, do you want to fight? And I said, it wasn't even in my head. All I wanted to do was lose weight. So yeah, I lost the weight, and then I needed a new goal. So, and then I started fighting. I had my first fight, and I absolutely loved it. So, and ended up fighting for Lolo for quite a while, and taking kids' classes and seeing my passion. And I thought, okay, I got to start looking to where I was wanted to go, because I was working on Rosemount Road, calibrating computers and making foam. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was doing. I learned it off from school. So I got kicked out of school when I was 15, and ended up working for my next door neighbor, who was working for a company, like they made the foam and the couches.
Yeah.
And he just taught me how to calibrate the computer. So it wasn't like flash or anything. He just told me, oh, this is what you do, and this is what this has to be. And so I went in there and started doing that, and it was cool. So it was quite an easy job. And
when did you start pursuing like being a full-time fighter kind of thing? Making it like your only sport that you want to like win titles and shit.
I don't
like,
know.
Like how long after you went to Lolo and that?
Yeah, actually I do know. It was probably around 2006, 2007 when I started probably really believing in myself. I came over to fight in a show over in Melbourne called Power Play, and I fought the co-main event to Mike Zambides and John Wayne Parr. And when I came out, I was like, oh, you know, these guys they're going to kill me after the fight if I beat this guy. So I lacked a little bit in the first round, and then in the second round I stopped him by KO. And
what'd you catch him with?
I just stepped off to the angle and threw the overhand, and I caught him, went for the left uppercut and missed, and then he was on the ground. And then I thought, oh shit, I went back to the corner. The ref was calling the eight count, and then he beat it, and then he came back, and I remember Jason Suddy saying to me, if he goes down and he gets back up, all you do is you swing, you just keep on hitting the guard because he's still going to be rocked. And I said, oh, okay, that's all that was in my head, don't let him get off first, I just got to get off first. So I went straight to him, meet him in the middle of the ring, and just started swinging, and I caught him in the guard. As my left hook swung, his guard came down, and my right hand hooked around the back of the guard, and then he went down, and I was like, oh shit. I was running around the ring like with my hands up going yay yay, and then I thought, oh shit, they're gonna kill me, after Australians are gonna kill me. But then the whole crowd was up roaring, and I just thought, oh, this is cool. So it was kind of a cool crowd because they were just in there for a fight. You know, they just wanted to watch a fight. And then I seen the difference between New Zealand and Australia. Like, Australians want to see a good fight. Doesn't matter where you're from. New Zealand, if you lose, the crowd is silent for you.
Wow. Remember when Jamie fought and they had that first UFC New Zealand?
No, I wasn't there. Oh. I the problem, no, not the problem, but the thing with me, I don't watch fights. I don't, unless it's one of the boys fighting and you know, it's a big fight and everyone wants to get together, I'll go and watch it and I'll get into it. But I don't just watch any fights.
Yeah.
I just like, I'm a true believer in having my fighters keep their own style and not try and live up to someone else because they didn't. For example, Izzy. Everyone wants to be like Izzy, but no one grew up like him, dancing and moving. He moves amazing, but everyone wants to, it's like skipping, you know, they want a shortcut and they want to skip all the dancing. They want to skip all the flash, you know, all the style he moves that he does that they never learn. And they want to go straight to being Izzy, but they just can't.
Yeah, a lot of people just see the finished product. Just like with Conor McGregor when he came out, everyone just saw this dude that had that one shot kill. And you see all these assholes walking out like him when they get into the ring with the fucking all the karate shit. But then when they actually engage, there's no skill behind it. There's no, you can see there's no repetition behind like their techniques.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, I think yeah, because I never fought back in New Zealand when I was living there. I didn't even train. Didn't know any gyms. I didn't even know they had MMA in New Zealand. So it wasn't until I came here to Oz and I realized that they had gyms. And I realized that they had gyms and stuff. And you know, like MMA was something you could actually go and train. You don't like learn it in the back of someone's alley or just street fight until you get good at it. So I thought that was like a big difference between New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I think it was like our Penrith ways. And I was talking to Jamie Tahuna about it. And he was saying, it's amazing when rugby players make the transition across to MMA. He's like, with stand-up guys, they've got stand-up, you know, they're good at this level. With ground fighters, grapplers, like they're good on the ground and things. He's like, rugby players, they're good in the middle. It's very hard to find someone that's good in the middle, that's got that scrambling, got that, that drive to like get on top of you. Even though there's no technique behind it, like just getting on top into a dominant position is like just something that comes automatic to guys that have played, you know, rugby league.
Yeah, I do. I watch that all the time. We've got at our gym, we've got a jiu-jitsu side, and we've got so on our jiu-jitsu side, we've got pure people on the street, like that come in and they sign up to do jiu-jitsu.
Mm.
They'll walk in and they'll do jiu-jitsu, and then they'll get really good. Like they'll get to being like a blue belt, purple belt. Then my fighters from next door, from all my stand-up, they'll come next door. And they'll come into the BJJ, but they'll start tapping out the blue belts because they're just rough.
Fit, like strong.
Yeah, but like they've got that fighting mentality of like rough. Like, yeah. And we get it all the time. Oh, you're too rough. Oh, you're too rough. Like, but I do understand. I can see it. When I'm around over there, you grab the gear and you rip the gear. But their style is technique. Like, I'm not putting BJJ down, but it's more like they go for the technique. They go for transitions, but we are just, you know, we're like rugby players. We'll grab them and we'll pull them and we'll hold them so tight, going, yep, I'm going to choke this.
And they're gassing out while you're squeezing the shit out.
But we're also gassing out. But yeah, we learn as we go. Like, and then the next time we come along, that person there, you go tap their hands and go, okay, this way, let's roll. Then they know, oh shit, this guy's going to come hard. So I need to keep him in like guard or get the first transition off faster than them, so get into a dominant controlled position before they do.
Yeah. Because when I started at a BJJ gym, it was always like technique will always trump like any kind of strength, you know, it will trump any kind of leverage. And then I started training at a gym where footy players would come in and they just learn like a tiny amount of technique, but they're just ragdolling these BJJ guys, you know. And then you realize you need like an all-round game. Like you can't just rely on like one discipline and that's it. You've got to be drilling everything. Like you can have your own style, you can have your own like finishing style, but you kind of got to be, you got to have fundamentals in every area of MMA, or else you get shown.
Yeah. I remember rolling, and I got up against another white belt, and he was rolling me. I was like, this guy's like a four stripe white belt, and he cranked. Got on my neck, got on my back, and he got my neck, and I dropped my chin, and I was like, yeah, he's not gonna get me. Then he came across my whole jaw and started cranking. And I was going, oh fuck, that hurts! Like, should I tap? Boy, I just got to too much, and I just tapped. So, yeah, I tapped.
Yeah, right. And that was like I used to go train wrestling as well, like instead of just BJJ, and that's where I learned. I was like, you can fucking monster through these BJJ techniques, but then if you can like kind of combine them with these wrestling techniques up against the fence or like in transitions and stuff, you can really hurt people, you know, and dominate in takedowns.
Well, that's been the struggle for me. I never know which one to train.
Oh, like, what discipline?
Yeah, like I'm like trying to fit everything in. I just, yeah, struggle.
But I think that's the best part because you're like, young, you know?
Yeah. And you're trying to fit everything.
Works. Yeah. Try everything and
yeah.
keep what works.
Yeah.
Throw away what doesn't.
Yeah, I have a bit of time to sort that out. But yeah, just trying to make sure that I've got everything I need.
Yeah, that's but and you're fighting pretty much like the top level here in Australia now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, am I supposed to be? But
it's funny, yeah. She came the first time I saw it, we used to run classes out of this hall. It was a Hobsonville Secondary School gymnasium. And Maki used to go to that school. And first time I saw her, I thought, oh, yeah. And her mum, I'd met her mum through walking through the school, and she told me, oh, my daughter's a black belt in Taekwondo. And I said, oh, yep. And then I went away, and I sort of knew what Taekwondo was, but then I asked the boys, I said, Taekwondo, she's a black belt in Taekwondo. And then they said, oh, but Taekwondo's all shit. And I said, oh, okay. Okay. But then we saw her, and she was, like, throwing kicks, and I was like, oh, yep. She did one class of my kickboxing class, and then she didn't come back. She went to boxing. She went with her boxing coach, Jordan Tugumala. So, yeah, she went over
nice.
There.
Yep. You're so nice.
And then she didn't come back to my class, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, then sweet. Well, if she does come back to my class, I'll make her a champion, and I'll even tell her that. Yep. But then, she started the gym, and then she came into the gym, and she started doing kickboxing. So, yeah, and here we are today.
Yeah, before you jumped on, we were talking about how in MMA it's so important that you have your own style.
Yeah.
How you can't like steal like you can look at role models and like base your style off like whoever you look up to and everything, but a lot of it comes down to like what works for you in sparring, in actual fights, and like improving and developing that. Yeah. Whereas like with boxing, wrestling, BJJ, there's basically techniques there, and you've just got to follow these techniques to the T to win in competition, because you guys are both training the exact same things. With MMA, there's so many different aspects to it. You have an opportunity to develop different styles and focus on certain areas of your game and stuff, and how it's important for coaches to allow for that style to be, what would you say?
Experienced.
Yeah, yeah, for them to figure it out for themselves, but giving them that space and like a safe environment,
yeah.
rather than just, yeah, go take your fight, because when I was coming up, that was all it was. You got a fight coming up? Yeah, I got a fight coming up. All right, let's fucking train, do all these random things, go to CrossFit, try and get fit at CrossFit, come and do your sparring against guys that, you know, don't really have the right skill level. You're just doing normal classes.
Yeah.
Whereas now, bro, you got like proper fight teams. Like I remember I went over to Thailand for a bit and they had like a legit fight team. Everyone was conditioned. Whenever anyone from the outside came in, they'd just get their fucking ass kicked in, you know, and they wouldn't come back. Whereas now, like it's very, very high level now. It's not just something where you can decide one weekend, I'm going to take a fight, I'm going to be an MMA fighter. It's like you actually got to put the years into it now.
Yeah. I push our guys to keep their technique, like keep their style. If they've got a good style, I'll try and improve on that style, whether it be hands, you know, I see it like a apprenticeship, like, they go through an apprenticeship, but if they fail, they've always got something to fall back on. So Mac is a Taekwondo like black belt. She falls back into Taekwondo if she a style of kicks, keeping her range with the kicks. But I seen some holes in her game. So when she first came to me, I said I knew that I needed to get her some boxing fights to sharpen up her hands. So I got her five or six boxing fights. The first fight we fought a girl from up north. She had seven fights, and I told Mecca that she had none.
I already knew. I stalked this.
But I told her that she had none, and I said this girl's had no fights, and yeah, blah blah blah. And she said she jumped in there and she absolutely wrecked her. And I thought, okay, this girl's insane. Like, and I said, okay, I just need to work on her, and we can get her to the top. Like. But yeah, we've had heaps of fighters come in and they've left, but it's just about following the process. So a lot of fighters, I feel these days, they'll change gyms just to find shortcuts. Or, hey man, that gym goes to, that gym's got so many connections overseas, I'm going to go there.
Yeah, they're just looking for that confirmation bias. Anything that agrees with whatever's going through their head.
Yeah, but they forget who their day daughters are and who has been with them since day one. and then they go somewhere else, and that, you know, it's so hard to come back. You know, the grass ain't greener on the other side. They go there, and then they go, fuck, how do I go back? I've had a few of my fighters call me and say, oh, can I come back? And I say, yeah, of course, the door's open. But then I'll, you know, the other fighters would have talked to them and said, hey, you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. You're like, you're a gym jumper. You know, when you go to someone's gym and you come back to mine, I've got to be very wary of you now because you've left me once. You know, okay, then maybe you want to leave me again.
Your time and
I don't want to put my time and effort into the guys that want to, you know, leave and then come back, you know, and then go, oh, man, because someone's popping off and someone's getting to the top and they say, oh, shit, better go back.
Mm.
I was like kingpin there. Yeah, a lot of the guys were, but a lot of them just have no patience. And hard. I would say hard work beats talent any day, so.
Yeah, big time. I think it's evident with, like, the UFC at the moment. Bro, freaking Khabib doesn't look like a genetic guy like Ngannou or anything.
Yeah.
But the dude just trains nonstop. His old man just mentored him since he was a little kid. He's got nothing to do with genetics.
Yeah.
Like, if he can do it, like, if he can, like, put that kind of energy into it and have that kind of coach, well, basically what you guys got, you know?
Mm. And again, I don't care where these guys go to. They can go to other gyms. Stay as your, like, headquarters. The TCC is your headquarters, but you guys can go wherever you want. Just don't go and be boxing bags. Go and learn. Go there and learn. If you keep going back and you keep going back and you're going to get smashed, maybe that's not the right place to go for you. Like, you know, you need your blood, your brain cells and that. So
yeah. What's your take on hard sparring?
I like it. Like, once a week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Like, just to get it out.
Unload,
yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Most I like it when time. I'm fit. I like it when I'm drunk water.
And one of our boys just left and he was getting cheeky to me and he said, I don't have the gas tank to go with him. And I just thought, oh, you got me.
So you're still going. It's been 1 minute.
So, yeah, he's just left and he's moved to Melbourne. So, yeah, and as Jesse Grindod, he's one of our 80 kg fighters. Pretty sad to see him leave, but he's got to pursue his work career. So,
oh, okay.
He'll be back within 3 months. He's left four times, and he's been back 3 months.
That's a massive thing with fighting as well. It's like, bro, it doesn't really pay the bills nowadays. But back in the day, it's like you still got to kind of work a full time job. Whereas now,
imagine the talent back then, eh? Imagine the talent that, the raw talent.
So many dudes coming through the training room, man, fucking crazy talented, and then have a baby.
Yep.
Start doing benders.
I always, you know, tell my fighters, once you got a girlfriend, once you got a boyfriend, see you later. And they're like, no, I'll always be here, bro. I'm TCC for life. And next minute, gone. Yeah, all their career's gone. You know, they still come to the gym because, you know, they got PTs there or they work there or whatever. But their fighting drops. They start putting on weight and that's it. They're gone.
Yeah. Oh, what's your take on hard sparring as a coach?
Well, I grew up, I'm from Balmoral. Like, there was nothing but hard sparring. I remember getting hidings every, my first sparring there. I got a hiding by, his name was Ben Agnew. He lives overseas now in Singapore, but back then he was probably in a, like, 50, high 50s. And I came in at like I was down to like 120 and I jumped into sparring. He gave me a hiding. And then that was it. I remember I used to smoke as well. I had Peter Jackson 30s. I jumped in the car, started driving off, and I put a cigarette in my mouth. And because of Ben, I just pulled it out, put it in my pocket. I threw the packet out and said, never again. If I'm going to beat this guy, I'm going to, you know. And I was driving off, and then as the years went on, as the months went on, I grew to love him. Like, he was teaching me how to keep my hands up. Every time after sparring, he'd give me a hug, and I'd be going, oh, my journey of, like, getting him back was not, just the focus went on something else, as a brotherhood, and just the, you know, my journey as being a fighter, and knowing that that's where I learned everything. If I didn't have a training partner, then, you know, I wouldn't be a fighter.
Yeah, that camaraderie in the training room is, like, really important just to, like, keep morale up. Especially when people are training for fights, especially when people are, like, cutting weight and everything.
Yeah.
Bro, it's insane the kind of pressure that you feel as a fighter. And I know, like, I guess like the exchange when you fight and what you get paid for those fights is not really equal to the amount of, you know, energy you put into like your training camp and like changing your body and the damage, wear and tear you take. But I guess you'd like take more from it. You know, you become a better person.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. But yeah, I do like hard sparring.
Yeah.
I like the hard sparring. If you're getting caught, it's your own fault for not having your guard up. You know, it's your own fault for sitting inside range. Like, learn your range. Yeah. Learn how to shut hands down. Like, you are the dictator. You are in there. You predict what's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to get caught.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're preparing for fights, that hard sparring is like a massive part. Because, like, walking into a fight, like, underprepared, fuck, it's the worst feeling. My first amateur fight, I got my fucking ass whooped. Gassed out so bad, couldn't even move, and I was like, fuck, never again. Never again. Road work's going to be included in everything. Yep. Just like there's these glaring holes in your game that you never saw before. You're confident as fuck. I'm going to have a fight. I'm going to fight in the cage. Yeah. It's not until after you're like,
that was fun.
Fucking ugly.
Yeah. I definitely believe in hard sparring. Shark baits, like 3-on-1. One is in and out every 20 seconds just to change the style, develop, change the style, you know, and you have three different styles, very equal to the person that you're going to fight. But a little bit of a tweak in their game, you know, because the person that you're going to fight has a tweak, right? They've got plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, they're going to fall back on whatever plan they've got. So when they're changing, each one will have a different style, and that's basically our plan A, plan B, plan C. So.
Mm. Pretty much pressure them to make a mistake, eh?
Yeah, and my guys that are, you know, the sharks, they're not trying to, you know, they're not trying to eat Nemo. They're just trying to help Nemo move and get in between, like, you know, snake around the tail and, you know.
Yeah. Bro, I remember when I started those, like, Shark Tank things, when I first started fighting. But the thing is, like, a lot of my training partners weren't training for fights or anything.
Yeah.
So when they do the Shark Tank round, they knew it was their chance to beat the fuck out of them. Bro, and I'll cop a massive hiding. And I always knew, like, I was like, you wait till fucking sparring day. I know what you're doing. And these guys would never turn up to sparring, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just got a hiding for nothing.
Yeah, I don't really let them, eh? I don't let them spar. Yeah.
Just make them work.
There's too much risk involved with, like, getting a hiding when you're fatigued. And to take that kind of, like, those kind of shots, you need to be able to trust your training partners to...
Yeah, like when you're saying all this, like I'm learning also, like I'm learning as the games go on, as the, like, I'm evolving as time goes on, because these guys will tell me, like, oh, you're too soft, oh, you blah, blah, blah. But I'm watching, like, we'll do hill sprints and I'll see, like, we used to do 5, but I've dropped to 4, I've dropped to 3 on a, you know, I'll just have a look at how the tempo was that day. See, I see some injuries. I won't stop one of them, I'll stop all of them, because they all go to war together, basically.
Yeah.
And I'll stop all of them and I'll say, okay, we'll go back to the gym and we'll train our asses off and on the bag. So they're not running, they're not jarring their knees, you know. So I'll take all of them back to the gym. Like, this one's taught me heaps. Macca's taught me heaps. So we will end a fight like a 3 2-minute rounder or 3 threes, and then we get back to the motel and then we'll sit there and she'll say, oh, I'm going to be gone early in the morning. I say, what for? And she goes, I'm going to go for a 5K run. I said, you just... fought last night. And she says, but I only fought for 9 minutes. I trained for like 6 hours a day. And I said, okay, I can't fight that. I can't.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and then as they go on, as she goes on and she gets better and better and better and she gets used to it, then that means that she's, you know, she's more comfortable there.
Mm.
She's like, okay, then sweet, she's fought. Now she, in the morning, she's, when she means she's going to training, she's either going to rehab or, you know, all aspects of training.
Yeah.
So it does. It changed my mind heaps, man. And then back at the gym on Monday, training her ass off, and I think, fuck, you need a rest, bro. She goes, I do rest. I rest in between, and I sleep all night. And I sleep. And then I think, oh, man.
You sleep 6 hours.
Fucking with my head, like, come on, have a sleep, have a rest. But I can't teach her that, you know, and I can't look at her and say, oh, your body's fucked, you need to do something. It's only her. She can, you know, you gotta, what did they say? Only she knows your body.
Mm.
you know, then yeah. And then she's had times where she's come to the gym and she goes, oh, I'm fucking wrecked. And I say, yes, go home and sleep, you know.
Like, okay, later.
Go upstairs because she lives at the gym.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, that's a huge, like that's so huge in people's careers, the coaching, you know, because it's some, like the old school way of coaching is just, this is the way you do it, don't question it, you just do it. Whereas now, with us understanding a lot more about fighting and everything, yeah. There's so many nuances that are involved in it, you know. Like, for me, like, I can't train under a coach that can't do what he's teaching. Like, it fucks me up, eh? Like, when someone's trying to teach me a technique and they can't do the actual technique in a fight, I can't train at those kind of gyms. I've always trained under coaches that have taught me.
What if they're old, like me, and I can't shoot?
But I mean, like, I've always trained under coaches that have fought, that have been in the fire, that have been in the back rooms,
yeah.
That have gone out there, done weight cuts, done training camps. So, and especially where the sport's at the moment, like, there are a lot of coaches out there that are coaching guys, but they can't actually teach what they're coaching, you know. And I find it very hard to trust coaches like that.
I've heard that heaps lately, yeah. I've heard that these amazing fighters out there, but they're a shit coach. Or they're a shit fighter, but they're an amazing coach.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've heard that heaps lately.
Mm. Yeah,
I was going to say something, but I've totally forgot.
You don't compare it to someone?
No. No, actually, I was going to say, my hat goes off to every coach out there, right. Especially with big teams. Like, I've got, now when I first started, I think we had over 100 fighters in my gym.
Yeah, a lot.
Over 100 fighters from the age of 3 all the way to 60. How old is Mr. Hooley Gooley?
Well, he's probably like 63 now.
He's probably 63 now, but he had a fight at 60. And he's just a beast. He came back to me after the second round, going into the third, and he was getting his ass kicked. And I said, you need to knock this guy out. And he goes, what do you mean? I can knock him out? And I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I can actually put him to sleep. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I got you, coach. And I said, what?
He went out there.
First 20 to 30 seconds, dropped him, went down, got back up. He came to the corner and I said, Leighton, keep the heat on him. Keep the heat on him. Keep swinging. Came out, dropped him again within like 5 seconds. And that was it. The fight was over. And he came back and he goes, why didn't you tell me that before? And I said, this is boxing, bro. But yeah, and then it goes right down to my son was the youngest fighter in coming out of my gym, which was 3 years old. And yeah, his first fight, man, it was amazing. I ended up laughing in the corner because I didn't even know he could fight like that. Like, he was honestly swinging. Like, I looked at him and I just thought, shit, I'm looking at Mark Hunt. Like, he just went toe to toe with this kid. And it was nonstop for the whole minute 30. They fought 3 minute 30 rounds, and it was 3 rounds of toe to toe. And I just went, what? And I told him to kick. He came back to the corner. I said, you need to kick him. You need to mix it up, and you need to kick him. And he said, okay. Went back, threw the kick, and the kid threw the punch at the same time and dropped him. And then he hopped back up. I said, don't kick. Don't kick. No more kicking. Just punch. So he went back to toe to toe, and yeah, he won that round, won that fight. So,
how old was he?
3.
Bruh.
So yeah, he's had 13 fights now, so I got to put a little bit of a handbrake on him because, yeah, like I was telling you before, when he reaches 10 years old and he's had 30 fights, no one will fight him. You have to start it. You have to tell them the truth, and yeah, I've always been that way. So, especially with Macca, when she first came to us, she's up in the 60s fights in Taekwondo, and I had to tell everyone that. But, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, Taekwondo's all shit, and that was my view. But then I had her on pads and that. She was something else. And I just thought, oh, okay. I told them and they just said, oh, no, it doesn't matter. And they fought. Yeah, Macca's fight. And then it wasn't long until she got on the scene. I mean, that was it.
Mm. Well, that's pretty cool. I was just thinking, what you got? There's so much opportunity out there now for kids. Like, I remember I found out about the sport when I was 22. You've got kids starting, like, your son at 3.
Yeah.
You know, now imagine this kid when he hits 15. Imagine this kid when he hits 21. If he stays the course of, you know, listening to you and training, like, that's a career. You know, that's a way of making money to feed yourself. You don't have to go and hit that normal 9-to-5 or chase PTs around. And
yeah. There's the most amazing kid I've ever seen. He's from VR gym, Auckland MMA.
Yeah.
He's I think he might be Filipino. His name is Ming. Honestly, if you see this kid, he so is good. The future. Oh, he is insane. He's got a brother who's a purple belt. I think he's like 17 years old, tapping out black belts. And he is. These kids are insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've heard some stories that did, you know, the, and it's good. Like I see it as good. Be good parenting is teaching these kids like discipline and waking up in the morning to do something before you get ready. So they get, apparently they get up in the morning and they'll do 200 like sit throughs before they can do anything. Yeah, like before they can go brush their teeth or get their school clothes ready. Or they're probably prepped ready the night before, you know. But this kid from VR, he is amazing. Like, oh, actually, I'll send you a video of him. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid's crazy.
Yeah, I remember when I was training at ATT, we had this 15-year-old kid training with us. His parents pulled him out of the school. School, and he was training full-time and just doing correspondence for school. Yeah. Now he's over in America.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was insane. I had this 15-year-old kid like shooting in on me, taking me down. I'm like, what the fuck? I usually squash these little shits. Man, it's getting younger and younger. Like even with 1FC and the BJJ like matches they're having over there now. You've got these young cats coming and smashing these old men, tapping them out left, right, and center. You know, these new techniques you hardly ever see in competition. So it's I think it's exciting for the sport just seeing all the opportunity out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different lanes you can run in now. You don't have to. Like, there's not only boxing where you can make money. There's not only kickboxing, Muay Thai, only striking. Like, there are, like, actual BJJ comps out there that are paying, make like, good money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good, eh? I do believe in it. I do believe in, as in good parenting, ways of pulling their kids out and teaching them something different, something, like, to fall back on. Mm. You know, like, they've got a good base of BJJ that they can teach. They don't have anything to do when they leave school because they hate school. Like, it's just not their brain isn't, it's not at that time to learn. You know, like, I went through school and I was basically told to leave at 15. You know, I think that you don't suit school, you should leave.
Yeah. There should be an option out there to, like, further yourself rather than if you leave school, you're a failure and you're not educated.
Yeah. And then I just thought, what's going on, man? You're telling me to leave school and you're not going to teach me, like, you know, they were teaching me stuff that I didn't want to learn anyway. Like, it's not until you leave school and you realize, oh my gosh, I want to go back to school. It's easier in school than learning in the big world. But I push, like, it's just, it wasn't my time to learn. And then when I got to like 37, 38, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to university and I'll start learning. So I went to do a Bachelor of Social Work and then my wife became pregnant with my son, so yeah, he was nine 2 days ago. So happy birthday, Nico! but yeah, I brought him a card. This is a bad dad time. I brought him a card.
Incriminating yourself, Wolves.
I am, but it's no man. We make mistakes, and I brought him a card and I wrote, "Happy 8th birthday, son. You're beautiful," and all this kind of stuff. I gave him the card and he looks at it and he goes, "Who's this for, Dad?" And I said, "Me," and I said, "It's for you." And he goes, "Oh." But I'm nine. And I looked at my wife and I just said, looked at her and she looked at me and she goes, okay. And I looked back and I just said, I know, but I still feel like you're eight because you weren't born until 7 to 9. And it was like 10 in the morning. So I covered myself on that one. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, yeah.
Cheers, guys. Shout for jumping on the first ep. Oh, 1 hour podcast. Very grateful for having you guys on.
Thanks.
Wishing
for
Macca
us.
All the best.
Oh, thank you.
Fucking destroyer. Get your revenge.
I love it. Oh, I'll be the best. That'd be good.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.